Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the saucy voice of your local announcer, Tom Fitzmaurice. Hi. It's great to be back here again, ready to go with another program that we call simply the Food Show, because that really says everything that needs to be said. It's a program about eating and drinking and restaurants and cooking and wine and seasonings and going to the store and buying all that stuff and raising your own vegetables if you have a leaning towards that. And we'd love to talk with you about whatever it is on your mind today, having to do with that lunch you had today or the breakfast you should have had today but you forgot about it, and the dinner tonight. Who knows what's going to happen? We hope for the best. And we actually take another step a little bit farther than that, and that is if you're looking especially for something specific that you feel like eating tonight, call me. And what you're doing here is not just calling me. You're calling me and you're calling all the other people who are listening to our station here and on 105.3 FM HD2. And they are ready to go to fulfill whatever it is you're looking for. And with all the people listening to us, we can always find somebody who has the answer to these questions. So we love talking about that. That's the long and the short of our show. The number is 260-6368. That's the one and only phone number. It's that one, by the way, is not new at all. Somebody asked me a couple days ago, is that a new phone number? No, it's the same phone number for, gee whiz, how it got to be at least 20 years. Same phone number, but yeah, who cares? 260-6368. Before I begin the program every afternoon, I sit in my office and I fill in a bunch of little cards with thoughts, believe it or not, if you can imagine me with a thought. And I always have the idea that, oh, sure, everybody will have something to say about this and that'll make for a wonderful show. It never actually works. I don't know why I bother to do it anymore. But I do love talking with everybody who is into food and who likes talking about it, especially seekers, people who are looking around for something to try out tonight, something new maybe, or maybe an old dish that you haven't done in a long time, or maybe a dish that's been around forever but you just have never made it or never even tried it, which is all right. But, you know, there's so much out there. So we are just sitting around waiting for you to call us. It's we'll think of whatever else we can jam into the list of what we're going to talk about. 260-6368 is the telephone number. 260-6368. You know, I was thinking a couple of days ago, I'm trying to remember what the connection was that would put this in my head. But a long time ago, I was at Tipitaris restaurant. Tipitaris, if that doesn't ring a bell to you, Tipitaris was a restaurant on Claiborne Avenue, about two or three blocks off of Napoleon Avenue. It was a big restaurant. It was a very successful restaurant for a very long time. And they were about as aggressive a bunch of marketers as I've ever seen in a restaurant. I don't say that to put it down, but they were always going after something new, something unusual. The dishes for which they were most famous, and this is going to strike you as weird or something I just made up, I guarantee you, well, maybe it's weird, but I didn't make it up. Pataris for a long time had wild game on its menu. And I'm not talking about deer meat. and antelope and things like that, or quail. I'm talking about hippopotamus fillets. And you're chuckling, well, I hope you are, and you're saying, yeah, right, yes, hippopotamus. Yeah, you can buy that in any store. You can't buy it in any store. As a matter of fact, nobody can get it at all anymore because it's to take that out of the environment is to bring down the species. We don't want to do that.
I held off going.
You held off going?
I was waiting for the blubber to show up.
The blubber. I would have imagined that would have been something to see. But I have a photograph hanging around somewhere of the chef at Tipa Tari's who actually had a hippopotamus fillet on his cutting board. And it was the size of a pine tree, and a pretty big one at that, I mean, just at least in circumference. Anyway, the reason I bring this up, well, let me establish a couple other things about them. Tipa Tari's, so they had all the wild game. This is what they became famous for. But that wasn't all. They had other things that they became famous for. One of them was lobster. And in those days, this would have been in the 1950s, if I remember right, maybe the 60s, but I think it actually started in the 1950s. They were doing lobster dishes using lobsters out of a big glass tank that they kept at a very low temperature. They wanted to see if they could keep the temperature in the pink there. And this could come in and balance off everything and make it delicious. But in fact, it turns out, you know, a lobster was a pretty easy thing to sell once you had it. The hard part was getting it out of the ocean and putting it in these tanks. Anyway, it's what made Tipa Tari's famous, and they became famous and stayed famous for a long time until the Patari family decided after three times that their restaurant had been immensely flooded. I mean, this was in the famous, what was that, the February 13th flood, and then there was the May 8th. That's that one I remember too. And in both of those, Patari's, they had just a lot of flood water in the restaurant. The first time they went in, they said, well, you know, we're here. This is going to happen now and then. And they went in, and they brought it all the way back, and then they got another flood. And then it happened again about 2 years later, and that's when they said, that's it, this game's over. And they stopped really everything. They shut the whole restaurant down. They reopened on the North Shore, but it didn't last long, and it was not the same restaurant. It's the Patari's downtown was so interesting that people were always going in there, and people still talk about it to this day. And they really did have all this wild game, and it was some very peculiar items. And you can't serve it anymore. It's when our American government put a lockdown on some of these very well-known various kinds of ingredients, they would just, you know, it's like certain fish these days. There's still a quota on those if it's not an outright ban. But anyway, so let me come back to that in a minute because I have more to say about the lobsters and Tipa Tari's in general. But on the phone, I see over here, oh, hey, wow, that's a long reach. And it is, who is it? It's Ron. Ron, welcome to the food show.
Hey, Tom, Ron the Gourmet Waiter. How are you
Ron
doing?
The Gourmet Waiter. Ladies and gentlemen, Ron is going to be sitting in for us on the 18th, I think, aren't you?
I believe it's July 27th.
July 27th. Yeah.
Yes,
that's what it, you're exactly right.
And I'm looking forward to it. I want to let you know I've extended an invitation to a guest to appear on the show.
Oh, who might that be?
I can't. I can't say who it is, but well, it's got to be, because if I do, it's going to give away what type of food we'll be talking about on the show that day.
Yeah, okay.
But I'll know within a week, and as soon as this person says yes, and their assistant told me that, of course, they're going to do it, I will be getting back with you, and the cat will be out of the bag. You'll know exactly what we'll be doing that day.
Yeah, we're not going to eat any cats, are we?
No.
But I'll tell you what. After you left it out of the bag like that, I mean...
Well, the two Marys are going to love this, because I know that they happen to like this type of cuisine, because I've heard you say it many, many times.
Hamburgers?
Now, what we're going to do, though, is we're going to dedicate the show to Clark, the gourmet truck driver.
Oh, there you go. That's a very that's a capital suggestion. Yeah.
So if you would, please make sure that Doug has the horn available.
Oh, I think we have that handy. Do we still have our... yeah, we do.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Thank you very much.
Thank you for doing it. It's a nerve-wracking thing to do. I know. Believe me. But thank you very much for doing it. We haven't had, mainly because I haven't been taking any time off, but we haven't had any guest hosts on lately, and I miss them.
Well, tell Marianne whenever you all need one. I'm always glad to do it.
Well, thank you very much. I remember hearing from everybody who was listening that day that you did quite a job on it. I wasn't in town, so I couldn't say that, but it seemed to work out great.
It was fantastic. That was Chef John Foles, and as it turned out, he's quite the media man. He ran the show.
Yeah, he's a great talker. He's certainly got a mind full of ingredients and recipes and just lots and lots of the culture of the Cajun country and all the other places where he worked over the years.
Yeah, well, we need to try to get him back on the show sometime.
And the
reason why I say that is because what he's doing right now is he's doing something where he's going to the seven countries that helped settle Louisiana. And he's taking genealogy records with him.
And that's
interesting. He's
traveling
to these countries. This is going to be a big PBS series.
Oh, no kidding.
But when he finishes it, yeah, I think it's going to be in 2019 is when he's going to be finished with it. But we need to try to get him back on the air because he had a blast on the show.
Yeah, I remember hearing that.
Well, he had a great time.
That's terrific. And, you know, there's people in New Orleans go crazy over etymologies, that isn't what I wanted, about how things, genealogies, thank you. And my middle sister, she keeps track of all of this stuff, and it's fascinating, especially when you discover you're somehow related to somebody that you wish you weren't related to, but let's hope that doesn't happen.
Well, I think what he said was what he's trying to do is he was trying to figure out who these people were that came over here and started all this.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, from seven different countries.
They all have different stories, that's for sure.
Definitely. Anyway, I'm looking forward to it very much. Thank you again for the invitation.
Thank you.
I'll let you know as soon as our guest says yes.
Terrific. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Tom. Have a great
show. By the way, those of you who are listening tomorrow and hear a guest host might wonder, well, wait, didn't that guy just talk about this just yesterday? I missed it. No, you won't miss it. That doesn't run until the 28th, did he say? But the 27th. But the actual host on, it'll be sooner than that, will be tomorrow. My wife, Marianne, is going to guest host the show. If you've never heard her before, it has certain aspects, not many, but certain aspects of some similarity to what I usually do when we sit down and do the show. But she has it in her own special way. And I'm taking the day off tomorrow, and she's going to do it. And so give her a buzz and have a conversation with her. She can really fill your ear and fill your brain with things. Let's see. Regina is over here on our green phone. Regina, welcome to the food show.
Good afternoon, Tom.
Hello.
Are you today, honey?
I'm okay. I'm fine.
Good.
Yeah.
I was in Rouse's today, which is normally I live on the North Shore, and that's
you call that living?
I sure do.
He is right.
As much as you do.
Yep, I know. I stand collected. What am I talking about?
Anyway, I was in Rouse's, which is the place I do most of my shopping.
Yeah.
And I just happened to really take some things in today. And I, you know, I hear you on the radio.
Thank you.
Pretty regularly talking about, I don't know whether it's a myth or not, according to you, everything is fine, but that restaurants, the business is down somewhat right now because people just aren't dining out the way they did. That's not my question. My question is this. With being in Rouse's, and I know that it's, I'm not going to say it's an upper scale grocery, but I do.
Well, I think that's fair enough to say that.
It's my place that I choose to shop there because I do like the items that I can purchase there. But Tom, I tell you, these grocery stores have really gotten competitive with restaurants.
There's no doubt about it, and they, you know, that has been something that's been talked about since the 1980s. I remember going to a food writers conference in New York City, and the whole thing was about the way that supermarkets could move into the scene and get people who customarily eat in restaurants to go buy all their food over at the supermarket and then bring it home and whip it up and get it done and serve it.
And Tom, and they even have certain stores, even have little dining areas that are really attracting people that may only have an hour for lunch.
Mm-hmm. Tell me one of those, because I've had other people tell me that. I have never actually seen one.
Oh, Rouse's has them.
Where? Which one?
I live over here in Slidell, and they have it over here. It's a separate dining room set up with, you know, you can get your drinks, everything and anything, and they're constantly cleaning it and keeping it nice.
Well, that I will give them credit for, yeah.
But, you know, they make their pizzas right there. They have an oven that they're doing their pizzas in. And I'm not here promoting Rouse's. It just really sunk in today how they're competing with restaurants. They have beautiful salad boards that they're constantly updating. And for myself, I don't get the opportunity to go. We don't go out to eat a whole lot. But I can tell you, I will go there and fix us a beautiful salad to have with dinner that night. But anyway, I was looking. They had the bakery department right there.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, I wonder if this could be having something to do. But the other thing is I just wanted to get, I'm sure you're aware that Cafe B has announced that they're closing.
Yeah, I heard that. I was very surprised to hear that. And the only thing I can possibly imagine as being a cause for that is a lease change of some kind. I'll bet you that's what it's about.
Well, I was really, really, and again, the Brennans just, to me, they set the standard.
Yep.
But they have came out publicly and announced that none of the employees will be discharged, that they have made availability for them at their other restaurants.
Yeah, and I'm sure they have no problems with that at all.
I think that's especially right now, since I hear that it's difficult to find good people. You're certainly not going to let good people go.
That's true.
But I was just really surprised, and I just wanted to get your reaction to that.
No, that has been going on for quite a while. It's not something I've ever subscribed to. It just doesn't seem right. When I get hungry, I like going to a restaurant as a place to go to and a place to be served. This is the good part, the best part of restaurants, and it's what I love about restaurants.
Well, you know, Tom, I don't think it's really geared for people such as yourself who really like to go out and have a nice meal. I think it's geared more for, I'm going to say, maybe a lot of professionals in the sense that both mom and dad are both working.
Well, that could be, yeah.
Soccer games, and they have this, and it's a way for them to have a hot meal on the table without doing any of the prep themselves. That's what I'm thinking.
There's certainly nothing wrong with that. And also, this really ought to be pointed out, and so I will. There are lots and lots of people for whom getting their weekly or daily even food that they get from their local supermarket who are now eating much, much better food than they were before, because those are put together reasonably well by real professional bakers and cooks and all that. So
Well, you know, I've taken advantage of some of their things, and I have to tell you, I've been quite impressed with, you know, a lot of the things that I've had.
Yeah.
But anyway, have a good day, sweetheart. It was
Thank
good
you.
Talking to you, honey.
My pleasure. See you later. Bye. It's The Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. Our number is 260-6368. Wait, I'm going to turn a couple of pages back here. We were in the middle of a brief conversation about teepataries. And this is an anecdote. This is not a story. It's an anecdote. What's the difference? Think about it and tell me. So teepataries, just to catch up, this was a very, very well-attended restaurant on Claiborne Avenue near Napoleon Avenue, and they were famous for doing lobster, and they were also famous for wild game, and they became very, very well known for both of those things. But then the day came when they had to make a change in that. It was called the flood. The floods that happened over about a 3 or 4 year period, it just wiped the restaurant out, basically. They fixed it all back up again after the first time and after the second time. But after the third time, they said, well, the heck with this. And they just moved out. But I don't know why I brought that whole story in there. It's a little too much. But, I know, because I'm trying to kill time. No. So here is what really was on my mind. I was in there one day. And I can't remember if I was sitting there talking with Tom Pateri, who was third generation, I think, in his family. But I remember talking to him before. But one time or another, he said, you know, things have changed a lot in the restaurant business. And I remember when people used to come to the restaurant and they would have one or two cocktails sometimes before they even looked at the menu. Now people come into the restaurant, they sit down, and they ask for the menu immediately, and they want it to be served pretty quickly, too. And he was really put off about this and thought that this was a bad trend. I couldn't agree with him more. But it sure showed the way things were going to change. It took a long time to happen, actually, but we finally see a lot of that around town, and I can't tell you it's my favorite trend. But there is... that was going on then, and I remember that just stuck in my mind that he was talking about, sometime in the 1970s, maybe in the 1980s, but I think it was more in the 70s, that he made that statement that about restaurants, about customers of restaurants coming in and only having like maybe one cocktail, but not two like they used to. And then they'd want the menu right away and get everything else going. Everybody was in a hurry. And he thought that was a crying shame, but I couldn't agree with him more. I run into Tom Pateri every now and then. It's always at the same place. He always, whenever I see him, both of us are having different tables, dinner over at Keith Young Steakhouse in Covington, which is terrific. It's The Food Show, well beyond my top note. 260-6368 is our telephone number. We talk about anything having to do with food, cooking, wine, cocktails, buying food at the store, or anything else you want to talk about that's delicious and makes your mouth water and makes life better. We'd love to hear from you about any of that, 260-6368. And remember, if you want to call about something or ask a question or tell me something, and you listen to the radio and you hear that whoever is on it right now is talking about something completely different, don't even pay attention to that. Go ahead and dial the number, and as soon as they're finished, we will pop right over to you. You are more than welcome to be at any point in this program when it would be convenient for you. So give us a call, and we'd love to hear from you about that. I have a couple of random questions that came in I don't know why. Well, it doesn't matter. Happy birthday. Okay, you've been to restaurants where there's somebody, usually a waiter, who sings the happy birthday song that we've all known about since we were kids. I don't think it has a royalty anymore, so you don't have to worry about that too much. So here's the way it goes. You're dining with a birthday boy or girl, you know, just whoever it is. They're celebrating their birthday, and of course you go right along with them because it's fun. Do you want those waiters, though, to come out to your table? I mean, really? Because, well, it's sing the familiar song. I mean, is this something that you actually like, or do you think it's a negative? Or do you just, like, totally hate it? This is something that it will strike you as odd, but it is true. There's a fairly large number of restaurants that have a no birthday song rule. And then there are some that recognize that that's a service to their customers, and so they will just go ahead and keep on singing happy birthday. But in order to minimize it, what they do is they make sure that the waiters and whoever else it is to whom it falls this task, that person is supposed to sing it really, really badly. I know of one restaurant in particular that if they're not doing it the way I just described, in other words, if they were actually trying to make it sound good, they have fooled me, or they have failed dismally. But I'm telling you, there is a couple of major restaurants who, when they sing happy birthday to any of the customers, they've got to be kidding. I mean, it's so terrible that the only explanation for it is that it's to prevent other people from getting the idea.
Now, if you just want to get rid of that whole thing,
yeah,
what you do is you have the waiters singing the birthday song,
yeah,
that birthday song, then you have them ask whoever's birthday it is how old they are.
That will dissipate the crowd.
Yes,
yeah.
It will.
Not a bad idea, actually. Do you like it? Do you like that done, or is that something you'd prefer they didn't?
I don't really care.
You don't care? Okay.
No, I've been known to say, now you don't ever do that again. You're flat.
Well, you do have to put up with that if you're a musician. Somebody's got to tell you that you're flat. This is The Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. It's fun to be here with you talking about food and restaurants. And you're listening to The Food Show. We'd love to hear from you about food, about restaurants, about cooking. And just to not to leave this behind totally, but if you are in a restaurant and the waiter wants to sing you happy birthday because it is your birthday, do you like to do it or do you not like to do it? Or will you perhaps think about throttling the person who is attempting to do it? I have one family member of mine. Oh, and I'm in love with her, too. My daughter, my beautiful daughter, can't stand to have any kind of singing going on anywhere around her, which, you know, we just let that play out as it does. But anyhow, what's your thought about that? And if you have thoughts about something else and you don't care about singing happy birthday, call us about the other thing. We don't care. It makes it's all good to us. 260-6368 is our telephone number. Call us right now. You'll get right in. Simple enough. And I will not be here tomorrow. I'm taking a day off for tomorrow. And I don't think I have anything that will come out of this that will shake any outside trees or anything. 260-6368. 260-6368. Oh, gosh, I am forgetting totally that we have a major Eat Club event coming up next week. It is the 18th, I think. Yes, it's the 18th. That's a week from today. It certainly is, yeah. And here is what we are doing. We are doing the celebration of the 30th anniversary of this radio show. We signed on the air on the 18th of July, 19... What? You know, every time I think about this, I forget what the number on the date was. I think it was 1988. And we have been on the air ever since then and are very proud of that. So we decided to give an Eat Club dinner, which we haven't had in a while. Anyway, we're doing it at Broussard's, an underrated restaurant, if ever there was one, in the Quarter. They now have parking. They have valet parking available right next to the restaurant. And we're doing a five-course, or is it four? Four or five courses, wines all the way through, and unusual edibles, nothing really far out, but some very creative work by the chef. And it's $100. That includes tax, tip, wines, and everything. It's on the 18th. Again, I tell you, that's a week from today. And we will be there at Broussard's. Beautiful restaurant. Wait till you see. You know, I'm hoping we can somehow figure out a way to do this dinner out on the courtyard. It is really lovely out there. We have a fairly good number of people who are coming to this. It's not going to be a huge mob. I'm thinking somewhere in the neighborhood of 25, 35 people, somewhere in there. If you've never been to one of our Eat Club dinners before, we just get big tables and we sit down with people you might not know, but you will get to know them very quickly. And I move around from table to table and just shoot the breeze with everybody who is available. And we talk about the food scene and about the way things are going and, you know, all those matters that we spend all our time talking about on the radio. Again, I tell you, it's next Wednesday night. It's on the 18th. This is at Broussard's, and their phone number is, oh, brother. If, let's see, 581-3866. That is the number. 581-3866. 504, rather. So hope to see you then. We haven't been doing the number of Eat Club dinners that we used to a long time ago. Back when we first started doing these things, we did them every single week. How I was able to do that, I don't know. But anyway, we're going to reminisce over that and hope you can make it. Love to hear from you. Where have you been eating lately? You know what? I had a recipe on my website a couple of days ago that involved Mornay sauce. As a matter of fact, it said oyster Mornay sauce. And I thought about that and just mulled over it for a minute, knowing that I couldn't think of a single dish. No, wait, that's not exactly true. I can think of one dish that I'm very familiar with that is made with Mornay sauce. But that's the only one, unless it's being hidden pretty well. The one that I know about is if you were to go to Arno's and get that five-way baked oyster appetizer that they have, you'll find that on a couple of the oyster dishes, like the Rockefeller and the Bienville, to be noteworthy about it, what they were making this with was Mornay sauce on top of the oysters, Rockefeller, etc., which is unusual. It is the way they make it everywhere else in America. But oysters Rockefeller was invented here in New Orleans. So the way we do it really ought to be the official way of doing it. But it isn't. And in the main difference is that they put this Mornay sauce, which is, you've been waiting for me to tell you what it is, I think. It is it's like a bechamel sauce, which is basically your basic white thick sauce. And to it, they add cheese and it melts into the bechamel and becomes a thing unto itself. And it adds a little richness. You don't want to add tons of cheese to this. A little bit of Parmesan cheese will do it. And you certainly don't want to use anything like cheddar. Anyway, next time you see a recipe that involves Mornay sauce, try it out. It's something we very rarely see. The only other restaurant I can remember that had it at all for any reason was the old Christian's restaurant, that the restaurant that was in a church, remember that? And they were there for ages, and they had a couple of dishes on the menu that were pretty generously served with Mornay sauce. But that's what it is. It's a basic bechamel, very light white sauce with cheese in it. And the cheese is melted away totally, too. Well, we are creeping up to the news here, and then we will hear same. And then we will return with more of the food show a few minutes after that. I hope you stay tuned. We have another whole hour to go on this half of the food show. But did you know we have another half of it that begins at 5 o'clock and goes all the way to 7 o'clock? So you talk about service compared with other radio stations. Huh, we got it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.